Amen. Good morning, people. Nice to see you all. Spread out. It's really wide, eh? I'm half inclined to make us all move, but I'm not going to. That's okay. We are going to look at a little chapter this morning, Mark 10. We've looked there. It's kind of a pretty common chapter, a common story to look at, but we're going to look at it for about 20 minutes. And then we're going to do a clinic, a prayer clinic, actually, how to pray for people clinic. You may have picked up this little. No, that's the bulletin. Not that. You might have picked that up too, but you might have picked up this here, this little booklet, How to Pray for Someone in 5 Easy Steps. We taught through it a few weeks ago, but instead of teaching through it again, we want to show it and demonstrate it and then talk through as it's happening. So that's what we're going to do. So right after meditation on Mark chapter 10, that's what we're going to do. So you might, and so we're going to ask for some, at least one volunteer to be prayed for something. And so you might want to think, maybe that's you. Maybe that's something that you'd want to do. And we're all going to watch, though. That's the thing. We all got, like, we're going to eavesdrop a little prayer time. That's going to happen. It's good. It's going to be good. So that's just giving you the lay of the land. And then after that, we're all going to pray for each other. Or be prayed for, one of the two. Either you're going to be praying for someone or be prayed for. And if you don't really want to do either of those, that's totally fine too. That's no problem. But it's good to posture ourselves in a way that we can either give or receive, or both. So does that sound good? So Mark chapter 10, let's go there. Why don't you open up your Bibles, clip open your phones, however you read. So this is, we're going to start in verse 46. It's the story of blind Bartimaeus. He's known as blind Bartimaeus, but in the end he's not blind anymore, but we still know him as blind Bartimaeus. I'm not sure exactly why, but that's how he has come known to us. We've usually studied this passage from Jesus' perspective, like, what can we learn from Jesus in this passage, in this story, in this narrative, this healing narrative? But this morning, just for real briefly, I want us to look at Bartimaeus himself and to learn from Bartimaeus. And he's going to teach us a few things. Two things in particular, I think, and maybe some other stuff that will come to you as we go through this. But he's going to model for us desperation and desire. Desperation and desire. Two D's. So next Sunday, July 3rd at the baptism, it's all about the B's. Today it's all about two D's anyways. Desperation and desire. And so this is the last healing. This is recorded in all three of the synoptic gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And this is the last healing miracle that Mark records in his gospel, in what he has laid out for us. And it concludes a particular section on discipleship, which is really fascinating because the disciples kind of followed around Jesus half blind most of the time. Not literally blind, but pretty figuratively blind. They just didn't know what was going on. And who's to blame them, really? I think if I were to put myself in their shoes, I would have had no idea what was going on most of the time. And to the point where Jesus really had to kind of sit down with them and lay it out for them. But here, Mark, the way he puts his gospel together and the stories that he uses, and it's very particular. He's making all kinds of different points. And this is at the very end of a series of episodes on discipleship. What it means to follow Jesus on the way. And it's a healing of a blind man receiving sight. And it's kind of like Mark is almost saying, you know what, you guys, you might be blind, but you follow Jesus, and he's going to show you the way. He's going to open up your eyes. Anyways, there's a vividness in this account, and we're going to read it in a little bit, but you're going to notice there's some real particular details, like he threw aside his cloak. Like, that's a real, like, that doesn't necessarily need to be in there. Even his name, Bartimaeus, and they said he's the son of who? I don't know if you remember, you can see it. Timaeus, right. Bartimaeus actually means son of Timaeus. That's what it means. So like Andy, like then if it was Andy, it would be son of Andy or Anderson or something like that, right? So that's what Bartimaeus means. It just means son. But these details in here, why is that important? We don't know, like there's many other healing stories that are recorded that we don't know these kind of details. So it's like, it's almost as if it was a firsthand account that Mark somehow got this information, most people think from Peter, but that it was this firsthand account that Mark is writing down. And there's these details, and almost like he's telling the story of the early church, like Bartimaeus might have even been known to them. Like, this is Bartimaeus' story. Like, Barty, did you know he used to be blind? Like, let's tell the story again. That's sort of the thing. And Matthew and Luke also mention it. Matthew mentions two blind men. Luke places them as they approach Jericho. Mark places them as they exit Jericho. These are all just different kind of perspectives on what's happening. So, but let's read together. Mark chapter 10. I'm going to start in verse 46. Then they reached Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. Just imagine that for a second. Just imagine that, like in your make a movie in your mind. They're leaving town, there's a large crowd following. And a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So can you picture that? Picture that? So you can hear it? Good. Here's this blind beggar sitting somewhere on the side of the road. He's got his cloak laid out. It's probably dusty. I've never been to Jericho, but I think it's fairly dusty. And there's Jesus and this large crowd following along. And this guy who lived by panhandling, that's how he made his living. That's how he provided for himself. He's asking for some change. He's asking, this is one of the standard, like, have mercy on me. The beggar's and the panhandlers would have been doing that. If we walked outside in some of our areas where people are often asking for money, they would have instead of said, "Hey, buddy, can you spare some change?" It would have been, "Have mercy on me." It would have been similar. So here we are on the road, and Bartimaeus is shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And there's other people around. Verse 48. "Be quiet!" Many of the people yelled at him. "Be quiet!" Yeah. Fill in the blanks, eh? But he only shouted louder. It's a bit of desperation there, I can hear in Bartimaeus. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Can you imagine what this would have done? Can you imagine what this would have felt like in that moment? There was a bit of a scene happening here, hey? A bit of chaos, a bit of ruckus. They were shouting. And just like most other days, I would imagine, they're told to be quiet. Stop disturbing the peace. Stop making a spectacle. But he just shouted louder. There's a desperation in Bartimaeus. Verse 49. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." Picture that in your mind. He stopped and he said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said, or take courage. Come on, he's calling you. So Bartimaeus, verse 50, threw aside his coat, or his cloak, and he jumped up and came to Jesus. Imagine that. Picture that for a sec. This blind guy throwing aside his cloak and jumping up. What does that look like? On the side of this, not paved. You know, there's been rocks and dust. And it's hilly country. They didn't have cups or hats. They had cloaks. So they would have laid out their cloak on the ground and sat on it and then begged. This was the tools of his trade. This was his livelihood. It could have even been his primary and potentially even his only possession. His only possession. And he throws it aside. The Greek word there is like tossing it over. It's the same word that they would have used for Jonah when they tossed Jonah overboard. Like he tossed it aside like you are not retrieving that again. It is gone. He tossed it aside. And he jumped up. And he like fumbled somehow. I don't know if there was someone leading him or, but he was, you know, clamoring to try to find Jesus through the crowd. It's a beautiful picture. There's desperation there, isn't there? It's like Jesus has something that I know I need. I'm not even sure I know what it is, but there's something there. I've got to have it. Remember a few episodes earlier, like just like two or three stories earlier, not even chapters, just a few stories. There was the story of the rich young ruler. Remember him? Do you remember him? Mark talks about him. And what is the rich young ruler comes to Jesus, says, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And what does Jesus say to him? Be careful. Remember? What? Sell what? Sell all your possessions and do what with it? And give it away. Give it to the poor. And what did the rich young ruler do? What couldn't he do? He couldn't do that. He couldn't let go. And he had to run away. He just went away heavy because he had so much. And his heart was so attached to it. That's the point. But here, blind Bartimaeus is held up as the example of faith. As the example of the one who is following after Jesus in the right way. And he jumps up and he leaves it all behind. It's a beautiful picture, eh? What would a blind beggar running to Jesus look like? What would it look like? What do you think it would look like? Give me awkward. Other words. Grabbing onto other people. What else would it look like? What do you think? Stumbling. Probably he might have fallen. Yeah. Could imagine that. Dignified? Not dignified. Not so dignified. I love it. Stumbling, running, excitement. Not really the way you would approach a rabbi, actually. Not the typical way you'd come and you'd approach a teacher. But this doesn't matter. Bartimaeus probably doesn't have all his theology right. Probably doesn't have all his ducks in a row. Doesn't have all his things together. Doesn't have anything to give. He just comes in desperation and says, "Have mercy on me." I could imagine him throwing himself at Jesus' feet. I don't know if he did that. But he certainly jumped up and ran, didn't he? Have mercy on me. Where's the level of desperation in your life? What's it at? Coasting? Do you know you need Jesus? How desperate are you? Anyone seen the movie We Bought a Zoo? It There's a quote in there, a beautiful quote. It says, sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage. And I promise you that those 20 seconds can change everything. I don't know how long it took Bartimaeus to jump up, leave his coat, and follow Jesus. But it might have been around 20 seconds. And those 20 seconds, however long it was for him, changed everything. It was this courageous act. And then, verse 51, Jesus asks the question, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. This is where we begin to see desire in Bartimaeus. Verse 51, my rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. It says, Rabboni, which is more than just rabbi. It expresses like a more reverent homage. It's like my teacher instead of just teacher. It's how they would have called the high priest, actually. Rabboni, like respect and personal as well, my. So he comes, blind Bartimaeus, this beggar panhandler guy, like the bottom of the totem pole. Have mercy on me, my teacher, my master. I want to see. I want to see. I don't need your spare change. Personally, I think that's what most people were thinking about him. And that's what he would have, that's normally what would have been expected. I mean, maybe there was probably some stories of Jesus circulating and miraculous stories and stuff, and that he had probably healed one or two blind people. Who knows? Maybe lots. I don't know. Definitely healed lots of people, so there was a sense of expectation for him. And by the end, he's commended for his faith, so he did have faith. But I think a lot of people would have been thinking, oh, he's just going to give him some spare change and on his way. But no, no, no. The deepest desire in Bartimaeus wasn't for just some kind of surface-level stuff. It was to get right to the root, right into the heart. He was in touch with his deepest desire. I want to see. I want to see. How would you answer Jesus' question? What do you want me to do for you? Another way of asking that is, how in touch are you with your deepest desires? Some of us aren't very in touch. In fact, lots of us aren't. Kind of live up here. Just need some spare change, or whatever that is for you. But we could move down lower, get into our core, into those deep desire areas. If you want to really find out about someone, ask them what they want, not what they believe. You ask someone what they believe, they're going to give you a bunch of head stuff. If you want to really know someone, ask them what they want. And then you're starting to get on the level of desire. Like, what is really in you? What's really in you? Thérèse de Lisieux, St. Thérèse de Lisieux, she was the youngest doctor of the church ever. She was, I think, 21 or something when she died. Mother Teresa took her name from St. Thérèse de Lisieux. So Mother Teresa wasn't born Teresa. She took a name, Teresa, and it was after this St. Thérèse de Lisieux who lived in France in the turn of the century, the old century, not this last 1800s to 1900s there. She said this, he's always given me what I've desired. Or rather, he's made me desire what he's wanted to give me. You like that? Let me read that again. He's always given me what I've desired. Or rather, he's made me desire what he's wanted to give me. This isn't about just wanting something so bad, being desperate enough, and then somehow we twist God's arm to get what we want. This is a place of opening ourselves up to God's deepest desires, his good and beautiful desires for us, and having them merge with our own. And they are there because he's placed them in each of us, if you go deep enough. We just kind of cover it up with other stuff. If you want to know how to access that, well, there's a whole journey there. But someone said, the opposite of our deepest desires is where our deepest fear is imprinted. Find those deepest fears and on the flip side, you'll find some of your deepest desires, what God's put in you. Seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. And he'll give you everything you need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things will be added to you. Wanting something bad enough doesn't mean that we'll get it, but wanting the right things certainly does something inside of us. Hunger, thirst, we sang about this morning. Only you can satisfy my deepest longing. That's what this is about. He puts the longings inside of us and being in touch with those. And Bartimaeus was somehow in touch. And that's what we can learn. Desperation and desire. Verse 51, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. My rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed you. And instantly, the man could see. And he followed Jesus down the road, or he followed Jesus on the way. It's beautiful. Let me read Psalm 37. I'm going to read this for you, and then Ange and Suhail are going to come, and we're going to do a clinic demonstration on how to pray for someone. What do you want him to do for you? Or what are his desires for you? What's his invitation to you this morning? Kind of an unsettling question, isn't it? But it's a good one to sit with. Trust in the Lord and do good, Psalm 37. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Father, I pray now in the name of Jesus that you'd help us with this. Spirit, would you come and would you stir those deep desires in us, those ones that are from you, those God-given longings that we all have because we're all made by you. I pray, Lord, that you would blow off the dust, uncover the layers, drill down the artesian wells of our souls bubble. Stir us, Lord. In Jesus' name.